Yesterday we heard in our chapel service the beginning of the Christmas story. We continue with that in Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, when I was on a grade school field trip, we went to a science museum. And I remember a couple of friends and I were standing in front of, in this museum, a large, it's kind of like a scoreboard, and it was a moving tabulation of the world's population, and just stood there and watched these digits go by. And about every 6 or 7 seconds, a new digit came up. And it was fascinating to just stand there for a minute or two and just think how the world's population is clicking along every so many seconds, and makes you also realize how unglorious your own life is, that you get about 6 seconds of glory and notoriety, and then the world's moving on to the next person. Today, it's almost 4 children born every second, to think how, so you get about a quarter of a second today of honor and notoriety in this world. So I think of how many births were taking place the very night that our Lord Jesus was born. How many thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of births took place that night around the world. And here is this one that's so lowly in this little barn and maybe a few animals around. Only place to put this child is in the feeding trough. A lot of times we kind of glorify our nativity scenes and manger scenes because they mean so much to us, but when you really think about what it smelled like in the barn and what it was probably like in that setting, it puts a little different face on it. And yet here this one birth continues from that point on to be recognized in world history throughout all time, greater than any other birth. What child is this that's laid to rest here? What is so special and amazing about this little child? Well, God has chosen to come down and touch the earth and actually come into human history. And by that, to reconcile you back to himself. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, not holding people's guilt against them. So this birth, this one birth out of all the billions of births that there have been, this one birth has such tremendous significance for that very reason. And it really has to do with making sure that you and I someday get to experience being in God's glory and in his presence forever. That's why this one birth was so significant. A lot of times we may think to ourselves, you know, God could sure make this a lot easier for people to become believers if he would just show up, just come down here in his glory and kind of open himself up to everybody and say, here I am, come and see me. And if God could just do that, think how many more people would be converted, we would think. But here's the problem. If God were to come to us in his glory, you couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. We, in our fallen state, we could not stand. We couldn't take it to see God in that way. Think of examples of it in the Bible. When Moses is allowed to have a conversation with God in the burning bush, he hides his face. He stays far away from that bush. When Isaiah the prophet is allowed to have a glimpse of God, just a tiny little glimpse of God in his glory and a vision, he drops to the ground and he says, "Woe to me, I am ruined." When Jesus' disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration just suddenly see his face begin to glow like the sun, think how itsy-bitsy tiny that is of God's full glory. And they drop with their faces to the dirt. They are just, the Bible says they're absolutely terrified. So if you and I think that in our fallen state in this world, that somehow we could take it to stand and see God in his glory, no way. Absolutely not. So in the incarnation of his Son, God has found a way for you to approach him. He has found a way to come into this world for you and me to be able to come up and see him and relate to him and have a relationship with God. If you've ever been maybe in a mall or just out in public and somebody is walking along, or maybe they have a little baby carriage and there's a little infant in that carriage, and maybe you've seen this in your own family, sometimes people who are absolute strangers will come up and talk to you if you're holding a baby or if you're pushing a little baby. There's just something about that innocence, and a little infant like that is about the most approachable thing that there is, if you think about it. People will come up and just kind of coo over this cute little baby and talk to it as if they've known it their whole life, and sometimes they don't even know who the parents are. There's such an approachability about that little tiny infant. Isn't it interesting that that's the way that your almighty, powerful God, who could just terrorize us with his glory, that's the way he has come into the world and wants to be known, to have you be able to come and look into his face just like a brand new, newborn little baby. That's quite a wonderful approach. And just to show you, just to show us how much God wants that to take place, as soon as the birth of Christ is announced in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the next verse that we just read talks about God going out to some shepherds and having a choir announce this birth to them so that they could come and find this child. God could have just kept this hidden. He could have let this birth just kind of slide by among the thousands or millions of all the other births in the world that year. But instead, he chooses to put together an angelic heavenly choir to come down, and of all people, to go out to these shepherds who are out taking care of sheep. That's about the lowliest entrance job that there was at the time. A lot of times, teenagers got that job. It's kind of like working at McDonald's today. This was a low-level entry-type job. And yet God comes to these lowly shepherds and announces to them the birth of the Savior and directs them to where to go to find this little child, where to find God in the world. Remember the story in the Bible of Jacob's ladder, how Jacob was sleeping on a journey and had a dream of this ladder, this staircase that came down from heaven to earth and so on. Martin Luther used to use that picture, and he used to say, all of the other world religions try to get you to go up and find God in all of his glory, but Christianity is the only religion in the world that brings you down to earth where the ladder touches the earth, and that's where God wants you to find him, in this little Christ child. That's where he wants you to approach him. And Luther said it's as if God himself in the heavens is leaning on the ladder on the top end as it's touching down on the earth. And he wants you to come and find him and be able to ultimately ascend to him by knowing this little infant baby who's down below. Many years ago, when I was a pastor up in Minneapolis, I had an older man come to me, and he was talking to me about how as he gets older, he said, "Sometimes I can't sleep as well at night, and I wake up in the middle of the night." And he said, "Lately I've been really bothered by thinking through what is Judgment Day going to actually be like for me." You know, if you're young, that's probably far enough away, you don't think about it too often, but the older people get, sometimes they start to think about those things. What's it going to actually be like to talk to God, to have to face God and confront him and deal with him? Well, God again invites you to that little child, and this is where he wants you to know him. This is where he has come to show you his grace and his mercy and his compassion. This is where he has come to show you that he has reconciled himself between you, and despite all of your sins, this little child and the blood inside of this baby's body is going to be used to drip from a cross someday. That little baby's body is going to get stuck into a grave, cold and dead someday, but then rise back to life again in order to give you life. And so God doesn't want you to be afraid of him. God doesn't want you to go through your life terrorized and afraid of Judgment Day and thinking of him and so on. He wants you to see him in the face of this wonderful child as a God of love and innocence and compassion who has come into the world just for you. May God bless all of us in this Christmastide. Amen. Please rise for prayer. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that of your great mercy and compassion, you caused your Son to become incarnate, and by him you have redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. We now ask you to enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may always be thankful for this grace and comfort ourselves by this in all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
Understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go now in his peace.